In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I wonder if you like surprises. Some people really enjoy surprises, like a surprise party, whereas others would rather not be surprised at all. Today in our passage, in Genesis chapter 28, we find that Jacob is surprised. You see, he has run away from his brother Esau. He, of course, had stolen his birthright and was running for his life. And he's going towards his uncle Laban's house. But as he goes, he gets tired and he wants to sleep. So he finds a rock, a one which is like a pillow. And with this, he takes, presumably, some of his clothes and lays it on top, and then falls asleep. And there he has a dream of a ladder going up to heaven and the angels of God going up and down this ladder. And there at the top of the ladder is the Lord. And the Lord says, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and Jacob." And he speaks to Jacob and says, and tells him that this place where he's laying down now, he will give it to him and his descendants. He explains that his descendants will be numerous and they will spread in every direction. And then he promises that all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through Jacob and his descendants. And then says to Jacob that he is with him and will bring him back to this place, and until this is done, he will not leave him. Jacob then woke up and he's very surprised. He said, "Surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it." And that leads very naturally to our first point, that Jacob is surprised by this new knowledge of God. You see, Jacob had grown up in his family, and there he would have worshipped the Lord as a family. And he would have seen around him all the gods and the lifestyle of those who worship the Canaanites, the Canaanite gods. And not only that, his mother would have told him about gods in other parts of the known world. And so he was conscious of him worshipping the Lord in this place, and in other places there are all these other gods. And so when he was running away from Esau, he must have thought he was running also away from God. And so he lays down to sleep, believing that God was nowhere around, and then has that dream, and suddenly realized that the Lord is there with him, and not only with him, has promised that he will be with him wherever he goes. And that's why he says, "Surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it." And when we look through scripture, we find that various times as we go through, that people are surprised with new knowledge concerning God. We can think of the Israelites, the children of Israel, when they were in the wilderness. As they were there, they have left Egypt, they'd seen the Egyptian gods and the lifestyle of the people there. They would have known something of other people and their different worship of different gods, and they would have seen their lifestyle. But when God revealed his law through Moses, and they suddenly realized the demands that God makes upon them, then some of them would have been surprised, at least, because it was very different to the lifestyle of the people around. They would be expected to live a totally different type of life. And of course, the God whom they worshipped was a totally different type of God. We can think of the disciples, many of them believing, of course, that Jesus was going to go and to be a physical king in Jerusalem and deal with the Romans. And many of them would have been surprised when they discovered that he was to be a spiritual Messiah. He was going to be a suffering Messiah. And even in Acts chapter 1, we see after his resurrection, some of the disciples are still puzzled about the future. And if we had time, we could speak of the surprise of the early church. Many of them were expecting that the Gentiles would have to become Jews. But as we know, they could come as they are and believe in Christ and come into the church and be baptized. But also we can come to a new and deeper knowledge of God. New for us, that is. Sometimes people have the understanding that we come to the church and we come to a certain point and we don't seem to need to learn anymore or understand anymore. But when we turn to the New Testament, we find the expectation is that the believers there grow and deepen in their knowledge. We can think of Paul when he writes the letter to the Ephesians. He prays and asks the Lord that they might have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that they might know him better. He prays that the eyes of their heart might be enlightened, that they might know the hope of his calling, the glorious riches of the inheritance of the saints, and that incomparable great power which is at work in us who believe. And Paul explains that great power is the same power which was used to resurrect Christ from the dead and seat him at the right hand of the Father. He expects those believers to be surprised with new and deeper knowledge of God. And likewise, we too, through the word and through the work of the Holy Spirit, we too should be expecting to have deeper and gain deeper knowledge of God and his works and his blessings. So we can well ask ourselves, are we ready? Are we prepared to be surprised by a greater and deeper knowledge of God? But secondly, we also see and also are surprised that Jacob should be used by God. Just think about it for a moment. Here is someone who deceived his blind father, who pretended to be his brother, someone who stole his brother's birthright, and is even a bit of a coward, running away from his brother. Would we really expect God to use someone like that? I mean, if we were to think of our church council, would we really be happy with someone who's lied and deceived being there on the council? And yet we also have to remember that God dealt with Jacob. He went to his uncle Laban's house, and there, of course, God worked with him and changed him. But as we look through the scripture, we find again and again that God takes people who we do not expect and uses them in remarkable ways. We can think of that boy with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish going along to hear Jesus. Would we really have expected him to be used and his lunch to be used in that way to feed the 5,000? Think of David when he goes to bring his food as the young man to his brothers. And there God uses him to fight that mighty warrior, Goliath. Or think of the disciples for a moment. Who would we have chosen as disciples for Jesus? Educated people, perhaps, influential people, people who could change the world through their contacts and influence and their minds. But who did he choose? People like Peter, James and John and Matthew, people who were tax collectors and fishermen, people who were not considered very highly in the society. He used them to build his church. Now, if God can take someone like Jacob and use him for his purposes and use him for his glory, then surely he can take us and use us, you and me, for his glory and for his purposes. Sometimes we may think to ourselves, we may think, well, I'm not as educated as others. Or we may think, I'm too young, or I'm too old, or too weak. Or we may think, well, I'm a bit odd, and I just don't fit in. Or I'm not a well-rounded personality. But when we look at the scripture, we find that God, again and again, takes people who we would not expect and uses them in remarkable ways. And if that's the case, he can use you or me. Thirdly, we should notice that we are surprised, and no doubt Jacob was surprised, at the abundance of blessing that he promises. He says, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. I don't think Jacob could have expected that. And he couldn't expect all the peoples of the earth. I mean, how is that possible? He must have thought that all the peoples of the earth might be blessed through me and my descendants. And yet we know, of course, it happened through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was a descendant of Jacob. And also we ought to notice that we too, even today, are being blessed by the life of Jacob. But as we look at the scripture, we find that God again and again not just blesses, but blesses abundantly. In Psalm 23, the psalmist writes, "My cup overfloweth." I don't know if you thought about that picture. It's a picture of a wine cup and wine being poured into it and overflowing. There's not just sufficient wine or enough wine. There is like more than enough. There's plenty. It's all going over the top. When we talked about the feeding of the 5,000 just now, I don't know if you thought about it. There were 5 loaves, 2 fish. Jesus broke this bread and the fish and then fed 5,000 people. They were full. But then there were 12 baskets of bread left over. Why would there be 12 baskets of bread left over? To symbolize, to show that there wasn't just enough food for everyone. There was more than enough. As we look through the scripture, God not only blesses, but he blesses abundantly. The other week we quoted from John chapter 1, in which we read that out of the fullness of Jesus, out of the fullness of Christ, we received grace. But not just sufficient grace, just enough grace, but grace upon grace. Grace heaped upon grace, grace abounding, overflowing. In Ephesians 3, Paul writes, "Now to him that is able far more abundantly than we can ask or think." Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we can ask or think. And when we think about it, it's amazing. And we can apply that to ourselves when we come to our prayers. So often we pray and we sort of think, well, maybe God will answer. But do we believe that he can not only answer our prayers, but do so in a ways that we could not even think or imagine? He can answer our prayers abundantly. And when we think of the church here, for instance, we often think of the problems, the difficulties. We think of numbers, perhaps. We think of the finances. But do we really believe what we see in scripture, that he blesses abundantly? Do we believe that God can bless this church, but not only bless the church, but bless it far more than we can ask, think, or imagine? Bless it abundantly. We have looked and seen in our first point that Jacob was surprised with this new knowledge. And we reminded ourselves that we too can be surprised and should expect to be surprised with new knowledge through the scriptures and through the work of the Holy Spirit of God. We've also seen that we are surprised that someone like Jacob should be used by God. And it reminds us that we too can be used by God. If he can use someone like Jacob, he can use someone like you and me. And thirdly, we've seen that God blesses abundantly. And he can do far more than we can ask, think, or imagine. If we were to get a systematic theology book, we could look up the attributes of God. We could look up God is love, or God is mercy, or God is all powerful, or God is everywhere. We probably would not find that God is a God of surprises. But whether it's in the theology book or not, when we look at the scripture, God is a God who surprises. He surprises us with new and deeper knowledge of himself through the work of the scriptures and the Holy Spirit. He surprises us by the type of people that he uses. And he surprises us also by his abundant blessing. The God of the scriptures is a God of surprises. Do we believe in this God? May the Lord bless this word to your hearts.